Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today is the Feast of the English Martyrs, and from England we hear from Father Ewan Marley, who is prior of the St. Michael's Priory, the Blackfriars in Cambridge. Father Ewan's preaching is entitled, The People Who Burn Brightly.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, Beware of men. They will hand you over to Sanhedrins and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the pagans. When they hand you over, do not worry about how to speak or what to say. What you are to say will be given to you when the time comes, because it is not you who will be speaking. The Spirit of your Father will be speaking in you. The Gospel of the Lord. When I was in Scotland in our priory in Edinburgh, a small old Scottish lady called Bunty complained to me. She said, why is it that England has so many martyrs and we only have John Ogilvie in Scotland? So I said to her, what can I tell you, Bunty? I'm afraid we're just not brutal enough up here. The real reason isn't because of that, I was of course being sarcastic, but because the Reformation, when it came to Scotland in 1560, 25 years after the English Reformation, viewed the carnage in England, the many people who were executed, both Catholics and Protestants, and also, it should be said, people who did not regard themselves as Protestants, but were regarded as perhaps not quite fitting the template. And the Church of Scotland decided there'd be no execution of clergy or Christians for their faith. Instead, they used money, which is much more effective. To be fair, it should be said that Scotland had a worse record for executing witches. Witchcraft trials were worse than Scotland, so they didn't exactly exclude the violence. But the fact is, when you look at the history of the Reformation in England, it is quite horrendous. Henry VIII, Elizabeth executed Catholics, Mary Tudor, the Catholic Queen, executed people regarded as Protestants. And you can see why people looked at it in horror. And there's a book about the period in English history called Devilland. And that book itself is about the attitude of people in the continent, the rest of Europe, to this place of such violence. It's a book by a woman called Claire Jackson. I heartily recommend it. Violence, terror, and also particularly nasty ways of executing people. Edward I introduced a method of executing traitors, hanging, drawing and quartering. It's as bad as it sounds. Systematic torture followed by execution. Most famously, William Wallace, the Scottish patriot, was executed in this way, being described as a traitor, although he was not part of England. And those laws were used against the Catholic martyrs. Very violent, very destructive. And in fact, it marks the history of England. It marks the geography of England. You go to various places, there are memorials, churches to the martyrs. They're associated with various places. Here in Cambridge, where I live, there's Robert Southwell, poet. And the church itself, the first Catholic church built after the Reformation, is Our Lady and English Martyrs. Though most people call it Olen. The question is, so why and how did this happen, but also what was the effect? Tertullian, the father of the church, famously said, the blood of martyrs is the seed of the church. Certainly, conversions happen. But you could hardly say that modern England is a Catholic country. And if you look at other places with great persecution, you might think that the results, the benefits are disappointing. Thinking of Japan, another place with horrendous persecution of Catholics. There is a core Catholic community in Japan, but you could not call Japan a Catholic country either. But then again, it's not just about numbers, it's also about, shall we say, quality. It's also about spirituality. It's also about the gift of these martyrs as our friends, our companions, as the people who burn brightly in heaven for us, if we choose to believe that they are servants of the truth, and if we have the wisdom to ask for their help. And also there are certain qualities in these martyrs which are human and earthly as well as spiritual. Thomas More was a great writer, great thinker. John Fisher, Bishop of Cambridge, venerated here, was one of the early humanists, a scholar himself, a worthwhile writer, worth reading spiritual writings, but also a sign of what a bishop should be, an inspiration. And there are the fruits later, of course. We have Cardinal Newman, John Henry Newman, who is so important to the way we think about the modern church, who is not just a spectacular convert to Catholicism, but also had a great influence in the Catholic world. As influential at the Second Vatican Council as Thomas Aquinas was at the Council of Trent. Some of the saints were very ordinary people, some of them were characters, some of them were simple people who were caught up in the tides of history but also knew what they were doing. Think of Margaret Clitheroe, who chose to die rather than betray her children. Others were, like Robert Southwell, important poets, great influences in the Elizabethan age. Other Catholics weren't martyrs but lived under the fear of martyrdom, like the great composer Byrd, whose value as a composer was so impressive that he was protected by Queen Elizabeth herself. And it's also the case that, as an Irish priest said to me in Ireland once, he says, whatever they say about the British Empire, they forget that it was one of the great transmitters of the Catholic faith. Often by accident, it certainly wasn't the intention to do this. And the pockets of Catholicism in England are still strong. And places where the faith went, Nigeria, parts of India, are places that are bringing back the faith to England. So, they burn brightly. They are people who we can warm ourselves in the darkness and the cold. They are fire and light for us. They are inspirations and they are a presence. And whether England was to become a Catholic country or not, it's perhaps meaningless in the modern world where it doesn't really apply to say that any country is Catholic. Maybe a country where the Catholic Church can live, flourish, but that's really down to us Catholics, to our fidelity, our faith, our hope, our love. And it's also true that this wee woman in Scotland, Bunty, made a good point. We should be jealous of England. We should be jealous of the many saints they have and the many ways in which they are a fire for this world in the darkness. But then, we don't want to be martyred. We want to live our life. But that's happened. It doesn't stop happening through the world. And faith and hope will bring us to the true home, the true England, the true land which will be in the new heaven and the new earth. As C.S. Lewis said, there will be a new England, a new Scotland, a new Ireland, a new everywhere. Because that's the nature of the church. We're preparing for the transformation. Here on earth, it's all seeds, the flourishing, the growth, the fullness that belongs to another world.